20 minutes. One more speaker. You can pay attention. You can do this, and I promise you, I won't go too long. We're going to be over in Genesis chapter 5. Definite theme going on this evening, as Chris talked about abiding in the vine and how our life is to be, the whole purpose of our life is to bring glory to God. And Doug talking about in all thy ways acknowledging him. And I think that sometimes we can become overwhelmed with that because we are men and we do fail. But we're going to look at an example of a man who the overall picture or the overall theme of his life was one that he achieved this. Here in Genesis chapter 5, we have four verses, and there's not a lot said on this man. This man's name is Enoch. But we have four verses that really give us a picture or sum up this man's life. There's four verses here in Genesis that refer to him. There's one verse over in the book of Hebrews, and that's all that we have to go off of. But there's some things in this man's life that that I think, as we look at the theme of how his life is summed up, that we can deduct and apply to our own life. So let's look at that. Here in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him." The theme of Enoch's life, as God summed it up and put it in Scripture here, was that he walked with God. As we wrap up another year here in T-minus 3 hours, and as we pause and reflect upon our spiritual life in the last year, what would the theme of your spiritual life be? We've had 12 months, 52 weeks, 365 days, 8,760 hours. What has the spiritual theme of that time been? And as we pause and think about a new year, 2025, if God allows us to be in this same setting in a year's time, how would we want the theme of 2025 in our lives to be summed up? And while New Year's resolutions is kind of a big buzzword around this time of year, and actually it's kind of fallen out of favor from when I was a child. It seems like it was much more of a buzz thing back then. And of course, we know that through research that New Year's resolutions are not always the best way of setting goals, and kind of the all-or-nothing approach is not what really sets people up for success. But the ending or the closing of a chapter of different parts in life, and in this case, the closing of a year, is a good time to stop and take inventory, and also a good time to reflect on what we would want in the future. And would it not be an honorable thing to be here a year from now and it to be said the theme of our life, as one looked back upon the last year, was that we walked with God? That Josh McCandless walked with God. That Jordan Humphrey walked with God. That Pastor Jason Dimlow walked with God. That Gene Humphrey was known to walk with God. There's some things here, although not a lot of detail, that we can deduct about this man Enoch in his walk with God. The first thing we can deduct about Enoch's walk with God was that Enoch's walk with God was one that put him in the minority. Now, before we kind of unpackage what I mean there, let's think about, let's pause and maybe challenge a bias, at least a bias that I can sometimes have, and that has to do with Old Testament characters, men like Enoch, men like Noah, men like Moses, men like Elijah, where we can sometimes put them in a storybook category, put them in a fictional category, because some of the things they've gone through are not things that we can relate to. None of us are going to live to be 365 years. And we know that there were some Earth's atmospheric things back then, and we know the gene pool was a little cleaner back then that allowed these men to live longer. We also know that in today, it's a time period that God has chosen to reveal himself to us through the Word of God, through the written Word of God. And before we undermine that, let's remember that Peter said that this Word of God that we hold is a more sure word of prophecy, that it's just as good as the firsthand experience that some of these Old Testament saints received. But none of us are going to experience the walk with God that Enoch had in how God revealed himself to Enoch. In fact, a little side note here, this term, Enoch walked with God, it's the same term used earlier in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, where it says, and they heard, this is right after Adam and Eve sinned, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. And so God, in some visual way, God in some auditory way, chose to reveal himself to the Old Testament saints in a different way. Now, the theme that we see throughout Scripture is that God reveals himself to man. But sometimes we put these Old Testament saints in a fictional category because we don't experience some of the things they've experienced. However, I think it could be said of Enoch, as it was said of the prophet Elijah, where James commented on it and said that he was a man subject to like passions as we are. And so as we examine Enoch, let's not forget that he was but a man. And if he could walk with God, then it can be said of you and I that we walked with God. Enoch's walk with God was one that put him in the minority. And you'd say, well, what do you mean? Well, 600 years has passed between Adam and Enoch. We don't know how long Adam lived in the garden before the fall of man, but we can guess somewhere around 600 years has passed. And we know the commentary in Romans chapter 5 tells us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In these 600 years, sin has grown in its pervasiveness and in its severity. When Enoch dies, well, actually, I correct myself, Enoch does not die. God, in a miraculous way, takes him up. But from the time Enoch is taken up to the time Noah comes onto the scene, it's 69 years. We know what was said of Noah's time. There in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it tells us, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This was the days that Enoch lived in. We know that, fast forward a little bit, that Peter tells us when he's talking about the days of Noah, that Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, where the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. We don't know how many righteous souls there was in the day of Enoch, but we know a few generations later, as God comes to judge the world, that there's only eight. We can deduct that the time period that Enoch lived in was a time period when his walk with God was one of the minority. And as Christians today, it's easy to feel outnumbered, because the reality is we are outnumbered, although probably not like Enoch was. There's far more people outside of God's family than inside it. But that does not mean that we are doomed to defeat. Nor does it mean that we cannot have a meaningful walk of faith with God. The scale of evil in our world does not pose any challenge to God accomplishing his purpose in and through our lives. Enoch's devotion to God required him to swim against the current rather than to take the easy way. He did not have a great host of people standing with him and encouraging him to do what was right. He did not have a group of friends encouraging him to remain devoted to the truth. Enoch had to stand alone in order to walk with God. But Enoch, being in the minority, was not an excuse to drift from a daily relationship with God. Enoch's walk was one of minority. The other thing we can deduct here is that Enoch's walk with God was an investment in the future. Enoch was leaving a legacy. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, first we note that in verse 21 it says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Now maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it says here that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Did he have a walk with God prior to Methuselah? I don't know. But it does indicate here that he had a walk post having Methuselah. And perhaps it was this birth of this son into his life that brought some soberness into his life. You see, our walk with God reaches far beyond our lives. People are watching us. Our walk with God touches the future in ways beyond our ability to measure. Our walk with God is an investment in the future of others. We note that Enoch begat Methuselah. In verse 25, we note that Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And we note that Lamech, in verse 28, lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah. And if we were to jump over to chapter 6, we know that in chapter 6, in verse 7, the Lord says that he's going to destroy the earth and that it repented him that he had made man. And then in verse 8 it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah's great-great-granddad was Enoch. You know, many of us may not even be able to quote the name of our great-great-granddad. And it's kind of a sad thought, because what it means is that when you and I pass away, that likely in a generation, if not in one generation, in two generations, our name's going to be forgotten. I don't know, but perhaps Enoch's name was forgotten, but there was a legacy that he left that affected generations down from him to where God looked and God saw a righteous man, Noah, and God said he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's a legacy you can leave, even when your name's forgotten. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 78, speaking about God's law. He said, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works, which he hath done. The positive legacy of a strong walk with God lasts for generations. Even when the world around us is turned away from walking with God, we must have the courage to continue in his way. We are not accountable for what others do, but to faithfully and diligently walk with God. Enoch's walk with God was an investment in the future and left a legacy. The other thing we can deduct here is that Enoch's walk with God was not superficial. The relationship between God and Enoch was not a surface relationship. It was not the casual walk of occasional devotional time, which I can be guilty of. It was not a casual walk of convenience when it fit in. It was not the sporadic prayer life where trials and circumstances of life finally become so weighty that I'm driven to my knees as if a last resort. And the one I'm crying out to seems afar off and a stranger. No, Enoch's walk with God was not superficial. Rather, it was constant, continual, steady relationship. It was not the result of a casual interest in the things of God rather than the things of the world. You know, we talked about this term walk, and we already referenced for how it was used earlier when God walked in the garden. The same word walk there was used. The other interesting thing to me was that this word walk is translated elsewhere as the word continually. It's the word used in Genesis 8:5, speaking about the waters after the flood. It says, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And we get the picture of the waters continually dropping. That word continually is the same word used here as walk. Enoch's walk with God was consistent. It was continual. It was a commitment of his heart. And the commitment of his heart resulted in a life that was transformed. You see, we sometimes like to think that the circumstances of our lives is what shapes us. And the reality is that we can't control the circumstances of our life. And whether we would outwardly say it or not, sometimes we begin to blame the circumstances of our life for who or why we're ending up the way we're ending up. And we say it's our circumstances. The circumstances that shape our lives are not, the circumstances in our lives are not what shapes our lives, but the reality is that our response to our circumstances is what has the greatest effect on molding who we become. And when we walk with God through the changing seasons and circumstances of life, God transforms our lives. Paul Chappell put it this way. He said, every day we have the opportunity to walk with God and draw closer to him. And every day we have the temptation to withdraw from God and try to hide ourselves from his face. Every day we have a unique gift that will never come to us again. A day to walk with and serve the God of heaven. Each time we waste one of those days, we have lost a treasure that will never come again. None of us knows how long we will live, so we must use our time wisely. And no, we do not know how long we will live. But one thing we do know what the future holds. In eternity, in the wonderful, glorious, direct presence of God. And so, as we think about this man, Enoch, and his walk with God, if we were to take inventory and be honest with ourselves now, could we say that the theme of our life, or could others say that the theme of our life, or perhaps more importantly, if we were to look up, could God say the theme of our life is that we walked with him? Enoch was not a supernatural man. He was not a fairy tale either. He was a man of whom it was said he walked with God. And you and I can have the same walk with God if we'll put the effort in, if we'll rely on him to help us through the journey, and if we don't use the fact that we're in the minority, if we view the fact that we can have an investment in the future, and if we commit to our walk not being superficial, then could it be said of us too that we walk with God?